Amadava Jayapura Bihari Kishana Balava Jayo Giri Paradari Jayo Giri Paradari Yashoda Nandana Jayo Braja Jana Ranjana Jayo Yashoda Nandana Jayo Praja Janaranjana Jayo Praja Janaranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jayo Kunja Bihari Jayo Jayo Radha Madhava Jayo Kunja Bihari Gopijana Pallava Jayo Giri Varadhari Jayo Giri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Jayo Braja Jana Ranjana Jayo Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jayo Kunja Bihari Jayo Ratamatava Jayo Kunja Bihari Gopijana Pallava Jayo Giri Varadhari Jayo Giri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Jayo Braja Janaranjana Jayo Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Jayo Jayo Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada ki Om Vishnu Padma Mahansa Parivraja Kacharya Totara Sata Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada ki Om Vishnu Padma Mahansa Parivraja Kacharya Totara Sata Shishimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Shri Prabhupada ki Krantara Shrimad Bhagavatam ki Samaveta Bhaktavrinda ki All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Shri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. May I have a Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto? Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayamudiraye om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So read Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 19, The Island of Jambu Dweep, Text 20. So we didn't write the verse because it's too, it's very long. And I don't know if this has a metric, but we'll try. Yosau bhagavati sarva bhutatma niyanatmye nirukte nirukte nilayane paramatmani vasudeve nanya nimitta bhakti yoga lakshano nanagati Nimitta vidya granti randana duarena yada himaha purusha purusha prasangaha. So word by word, yaha, anyone who, asau, that, bhagavati, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sarva bhuta atmani, the super soul of all living entities, anatmye, having no attachment, anirukte, who is beyond the mind and speech. Anilayane, not dependent on anything else. Parama Atmani, unto the Supreme Soul. Vasudeva, Lord Vasudev, the son of Vasudeva. Ananya, without any other. Nimitta, cause. Bhakti Yoga Lakshanaha, having symptoms of pure devotional service. Nanagati, of varied destinations. Nimitta, the cause. Avidya Granti, the bondage of ignorance. Randhana, of cutting. Dwarena, by means. Yada, when he, indeed, Mahapurusha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Purusha, with the devotee, Prasangaha, an intimate relationship. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace is Sivaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. After many, many births, when the results of one's pious activities mature, one gets an opportunity to associate with pure devotees. Then, one is able to cut the knot of bondage to ignorance, which bound him because of varied fruitive activities. As a result of associating with devotees, one gradually renders service to Lord Vasudev, who is transcendental, free from attachment to the material world, beyond the mind and words, and independent of everything else. That bhakti yoga, devotional service to Lord Vasudev, is the real path of liberation. Purport. Brahman realization is the beginning of liberation. In Paramatma, realization is a still further advancement toward the realm of liberation. But one achieves real liberation when he understands his position as an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Muktir hitvan yatha rupam swarupena vyavastiti. In the material world, in the bodily concept of life, everyone is working in the wrong direction. When one becomes Brahma Bhuta, spiritually realized, one understands that he is not the body, and that working in the bodily concept of life is useless and misdirected. Then his devotional service begins. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatmana Socchatina Kankshati Sama Sarvesu Bhuteshu Madbhaktin Labhate Param. Quote, one who is thus transcendentally situated realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. Unquote. Devotional service is actual liberation. When one is attracted by the beauty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his mind is always engaged at the Lord's lotus feet, he is no longer interested in subjects that do not help him in self-realization. In other words, he loses all attraction for material activities. In the Taittiriya Upanishad 2.7, it is said, Eshahi eva nandayati yadahi eva ishayetasmin nadishinatmye anirukte nilanayane bhayam pratishtam bindante taso bhayam gato bhavati. a living entity becomes established in a spiritual, blissful life when he fully understands that his happiness depends on a spiritual self-realization, which is the basic principle of ananda, bliss. And when he is eternally situated in the service of the Lord, who has no other Lord above him. Om Ajnati Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangulangayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Bande Shri Gurundinataranam Panchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Good morning. You want? So here we have many points. The first we discuss is what is the beginning of liberation. How the platform of Brahman, the stage of Brahman, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, when there is no more anxieties and lamentations, that is not the end. The platform of self-realization, to realize that one is a spiritual soul, that is not the end of liberation. Real liberation is muktir hiton yata. Hiton yata rupan swarupena vyavastiti. Vyavastiti means to be situated, established. It's when we achieve and understand our position as servants of Krishna. Whereas the liberation that the Jnani generally is looking for, or sometimes Prabhupada describes the Maya Valleys, they are looking for this nasochati nakanshati. They are looking for peace of freedom from birth and death. And their conception is not one of a relationship. It's a conception of somehow enjoy the feeling of freedom from suffering. So the conception of lording over material nature is transferred to lording over spiritual energy. In the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami describes different processes. While answering the question of Maharaj Parikshit, of what's supposed to be the main the occupation of a human being, especially when he's about to die. Sukadeva Goswami answered in a very broad-minded way, describing different processes. And the first, he described the materialistic person. He described a vikarmi, basically a person who is spending day and night, looking or hankering for temporary happiness, either by sexual life at night or by trying to get money during the day. And Sukadeva Goswami then describes a very simple life that one should aspire for, which for these materialistic personalities would be very difficult, even for us, for me. But Sukadeva Goswami describes an extreme renunciation life, a simple life. And later on describes the universal form. He said the first, this is the alternative for the materialistic person to, they may not be able to take, people in general, may not be able to take an austere life in order to get free from the suffering of life. But they can begin by understanding the superiority of God through the universal form, which is a way to, it's an imaginary form of the Lord, where one can begin meditating, understanding different parts of the universe, different limbs of the Lord. But the idea is that one understands the greatness of God, that there is a supreme power. And that understanding is creating a bridge between the materialistic thinking and also a protection between the transition to be a materialistic person and become a spiritualist or a transcendentalist. If there is not proper advices, if there is no love for God, one is advised to worship the universal form of the Lord. Why? Because all processes depend on bhakti somehow. If you approach the jnana process without bhakti, without any bhakti, you end up being a mayavadi, or you end up thinking that you are God, finally. So the danger of following the jnana process is that you can, because there is no love for God, no relationship, no understanding of that aspect, one may confuse oneself with Krishna, with God, or try to be one with Krishna, with God, and enjoy that somehow, that peacefulness that brings the Brahman realization. So Sukadeva Goswami will describe different processes. And we see that for every process you need some qualification from different stages. Like, even if you, also if you are deprived while you're practicing yoga from any, your approach to mystic powers of yoga is no one of trying to develop some affection, at least for Paramatma, then you become in love with all the results of the yoga processes, all the mystic powers. Then there are so many fruits from the yoga processes, sub-products, and one may be attracted to those powers. This is the problem with the Ashtanga yoga process. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained that. That those are the dangers that keep the living entity somehow not liberated. Although they be mukta manina in their mind, they may think that they are liberated, are they either mayavadis or yogis. But if they don't have a relationship established through a process of devotion to the Lord, they fall down from their position. Like, in some time I heard Singh Chaya explaining the more in a earth, more connected to our life, that if we don't have relationship we don't have any friend in devotional service, and it's very easy to fall down, to give up the process of bhakti. Because there is no accountability to anyone. So basically, the other processes is I'm doing myself. I can make it. That is the mentality. Do we have can we get a Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 9? I think it must be part 1. Yes. Someone to read something? So there in the Srimad Bhagavatam Prabhupada explained that there is three ways to approach the Lord, but these three ways have to be with some bhakti. You cannot get anything from those processes without bhakti. Our process of devotional service is based on not on vairagya and not in jnana. You know, jnana and vairagya. It's not that by our strength we obtain knowledge and by our strength we become detached, or we practice either detachment or the process of knowledge. Thank you. So these are the this is a purport of Srila Prabhupada on a prayer of in the chapter where Lord Brahma is praying for the power of it's called the prayers for creative energy. So Prabhupada defined what is a conditioned soul. When a person does not know that the Lord is the only dearmost object, then he is in the conditioned state of life. And when one knows perfectly well that the Lord is the only dearmost object, he is considered to be liberated. I thought it was a very interesting definition of conditioned soul, because that may include also practitioners who are doing other processes and even in they don't have the understanding of the practices or relationship with the Lord, who is the object of love. So there are degrees of knowing one's relationship with the Lord depending on the degree of realization as to why the Supreme Lord is the dearmost object of every living being. The real reason is clearly stated in Bhagavad Gita 15:7. Mama vainso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. The living entities are eternally part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. The living entity is called the Atma and the Lord is called the Paramatma. The living entity is called Brahman and the Lord is called Parabrahman or the Parameshwar. So these are the proper conceptions of one who is in the process of yoga, for example, of meditation, that one is Atma and has to be very clear that there is a Paramatma. And then there is a Brahman and there is a Parabrahman. And those things, when they are mixed, when one thing that one is the Parabrahman or one is the Paramatma, this is the failure of the process. Therefore, they need bhakti to understand that there is these processes are to link someone with the superior Parabrahman or the superior Paramatma. And in the case of bhakti, we call the supreme Bhagavan, Ishvara. And then Prabhupada explained. One cannot love anything unless he's fully developed in the loving service of the Lord. The Mayavadi philosophers, accepting the influence of Maya on the living entity, want to become one with Paramatma. But because they have no actual love for Paramatma, they remain ever entrapped by the influence of Maya and are unable to approach the vicinity of Paramatma. This inability is due to the lack of affection for the Paramatma. Without possessing affection for the sun, this is an analogy, the eyes cannot bear the rays of the sun, or in other words, such eyes have no capacity to understand the utility of the sun rays. Similarly, the empiric philosopher, despite their theoretical knowledge of Brahman, cannot utilize the mercy of the Supreme Brahman because they lack affection. So many impersonal philosophers remain everlastingly under the influence of Maya because, although they indulge in theoretical knowledge of Brahman, they do not develop affection for Brahman, nor do they have any scope for development of affection because of their defective method. A devotee of the Sun God, Quentin Prabhupada gives some examples. And so this is the main point why the process of liberation is imperfect still, because there is not development of love for God. So that we are not looking for this Brahma-Bhuta stage of peacefulness. When we come to a spiritual life, we have wrong conceptions of what spiritual life is. And especially the way that Bhakti Yoga is practiced, especially in ISKCON. So many people from other processes bring some kind of discontentment when they come to a temple, for example. They are looking for this kind of retreats, peaceful retreats where they can sit and stay silent and practice meditation, etc. So when they are invited to the temple or even to a festival of the devotees, with devotees, they cannot. It's very difficult to understand what's going on here, what kind of spirituality they are practicing, because it's practically, if you take out all the sacred paraphernalia, it looks like the same life that have any materialistic people. And you enter in the temple and you would see maybe the Daita is fixing things, perhaps with other devotees working. You see people cooking there, or there are, it's like you're maintaining a house. Or there are, what are you doing, transcendentalist? I'm cleaning the bathroom. So all these, so all activities, and then we see maybe Murari sending a check, or Radharama Prabhu, then we see what kind of spiritualist people is this. And another devotee looking at the mirror, putting tilak. What to speak of to see devotees who live in their houses. They go to work, the job. So what kind of spirituality is this? So that's the process of the Bhakti Yoga process is a very practical process. And it's the connection, it's the end of the bridge between the material world and the spiritual world. That Krishna described as the material world as a reflection of the spiritual world. So the impersonalists are in the between, in the bridge. But and the other process, they take you out from the material world, but they don't take you to the final destination. So in that between, there is some kind of inaction. It's like the between the day and night, when we sleep. Is that stage of non-action, relief, and then starting again. But in the bhakti process, we awake from the sleeping stage, and we start performing actions again. So the process of bhakti yoga is basically being the real person, not it's like the materialistic, but in the real sense, in the real life. Living entities are ananda mayobhya sat. They are looking for pleasure. They are doing all kinds of activities in order to get real pleasure. And in the material world, that is reflected in so many activities. Srama eva hi kevalam, that doesn't bring any spiritual fruit. But when the same activities are performed according to the scriptures and for pleasing Krishna, so Hrishikena, Hrishikesa, Sevanam, Bhakti, Uchate, that's the process of bhakti, is engaging the senses and all type of activities in the service of the Lord. Of course, we have the characteristic of activities of bhakti yoga are Sravana and Kirtan, Smaran and Vishnu. These activities are also meant by materialistic. And then you have the secondary activities that are the activities that we need for keeping the body alive and interacting with people in society, etc. And all these activities can be achieved by bhakti yoga, either the activities of hearing and talking, asking questions, etc., directed to the Lord, and all kind of activities in order to survive in this world also can be done for the pleasure of Krishna. So therefore, the process of bhakti is very, it's not easy to understand sometimes, because the liberation of the devotee is not like the liberation described in yoga magazines, other places. Not a person closing their eyes and like. So in the between of our spiritual life, when we are going just by the mercy of the devotees, we obtain this chance to practice bhakti yoga. In the between, we bring all this misconception of spiritual life, and therefore we may experience many frustrations in the path of devotional service, because of the misconceptions, the klesha dikaras, klesha, Krishna describes a klesha, the adhikara klesha. The process will be very difficult, even to take bhakti yoga, if you are coming from practicing jnana process and other misconceptions. And many of us, we have absorbed these sunyavadi and mayavadi philosophies. That's the mission of Srila Prabhupada, nirvishesha sunyavadi, to destroy these conceptions. So in a spiritual life, we may be looking always for some relief, etc. And especially the temple environment, sometimes it's meant to bring the opposite than peace. If you want the nasochati nakansati, you can be in that stage, but externally not. There will be many anxieties, but a spiritual anxiety, which is different. We don't have to confuse those anxieties with material anxieties. So, for instance, any service has so many anxieties, like book distribution. You can experience anxiety. If you are eager to distribute the books, you may feel like, well, some and different kind of situations. Sometimes by the disturbance by other people who doesn't want to take the books, or they will say many things to the devotee, but that will be material if you become disturbed by that. But then you might feel bad if a person doesn't take the book, or lose the chance to take Krishna consciousness, or if you commit a mistake, and that's has more to do with the spiritual side. Or you may have anxiety on how to spread Krishna consciousness, how to at least give as many books as I can. The same way the kitchen or the deity worship has a lot of anxieties of being on time to prepare the boga for the Lord. Sometimes we see the pujari running like, through the stairs. So you can feel what kind of, I came to be a beautiful, I want to be like that. And you see in the kitchen also, like, at 4 o'clock in the morning, the Mother Rasika Manjari and the other devotees, like, you can, it's not very peaceful. They're cooking for hundreds of people. But all this anxiety that they are taking is really liberation. It's a spiritual life. Some way you need like cleaning the bathroom also you may take anxieties. Don't you see? But it's a spiritual, it's a service to the Vaishnavas. So that's the bhakti yoga practitioner is accepting anxieties. And he's lamenting also. Sometimes because of his past activities, the time he wastes in devotional service. And also he may lament that he wants to achieve more, be more close to Krishna. So the highest or topmost devotee is the one who is in more anxiety and the one who is lamenting the most. That is, we can see the Mother Hara is always in anxiety because he's always crying. If you see the topmost devotees are always crying. This is a school of crying. They finally we learn to cry for Krishna. And our acharyas, sometimes they're right in that mood of the topmost devotees. So finally, we are getting ready to accept anxieties and lamentation, the transcendental anxiety and lamentation. And in the between, we may experience some peace. Some peace and some happiness. But the real happiness is the transcendental happiness that are experiencing the devotees who are in the spiritual world. Even Vrindavan, when Krishna came, he came because Mother Bhumi was asking for peace in the world. Lord Brahma, everyone went to see the Lord for that. And as soon as Krishna came, he activated Kamsa. Kamsa was in a kind of passive stage, the demons, but as soon as Krishna appears, as soon as we see the Krishna Lila after the prayers of the demigods, then we start seeing all kind of anxieties directed by Narada Muni. The supreme devotee, he's creating all, like he's activating Kamsa, explaining Kamsa, Krishna is here now, so you have to do something. It's very confusing. And we see that the result of Krishna coming to this world, to Vrindavan, is that every morning was coming a demon, every morning. So every day the devotees were in anxiety. A demon is coming. But their pleasure was increasing more and more and more because they were taking shelter of Krishna. This is the supreme, the Ashraya. And therefore, this all anxieties of Krishna consciousness that we may have to take. Finally, when we are well situated in the liberation via Vyavastiti, situated in the Mukti stage, and then we can we can be grateful for all these type of anxieties like Queen Kunti, because those anxieties or wherever. Whatever happens, even nice things, bad things, everything becomes absolute and becomes an excuse for chanting the holy name, focusing, being more eager or more focused on your rounds. So that, therefore, for the liberation stage of material life is when everything is a situation for improving your spiritual life. You see, the devotees celebrating the festival in Poland, for example, with Indra Dumna Swami, chanting Hare Krishna and Ratha Yatra, and then we see, or we have seen through history, devotees in Russia chanting the holy name or protesting to have the right to practice Krishna consciousness. In the past, they were having a lot of trouble, but it was an impetus to become more strong devotees. Now they are one of the strongest communities in the world. So either we are participating in the happiness of the world by celebrating festivals, and in that way devotees also focus on Krishna, and sometimes they focus on Krishna because of the calamities of the material world. There are also impetus, like fruitful life, there is an earthquake, and then the devotees take, oh, let's go to the Tirupur Prasad. So they always find ways to be engaged, because in the spiritual platform, everything is absolute. There is no good and bad. This is the liberated stage of spiritual life. So, Sikh or not Sikh, whatever, like we always are serving Krishna. So that's the proposal of the liberation that is offering to us. At least in the, this is called Kleshagni, the first characteristic of devotional service. And the second is that it's auspicious for everyone. And that stage we can achieve, that stage in the beginning, stage is still, it is said that it's fully developed with nishta, when we become fixed after we get free of anarthas. But we can experience though this stage of kleshagni more or less from the beginning when we start associating with devotees. So I'll finish here and I will leave the other point if you have questions. There was other points I wanted to make, but one important point was how a materialistic person come in contact with devotees. If pious activities can bring devotional service, because the verse explained that after many, many births, when the result of one pious activity is mature, one gets an opportunity to associate with pure devotees. Anyone wants to know more about that? He's explaining the Madhya Lila chapter 22, the teachings to Rupa Goswami, and also in Nectar of Devotion, the eligibility for devotional service. Also in the Jiva Dharma and in the Shuddha Chintamani. It's a Madhurya Kadambini also. It's explained. But just to say, pious activities cannot bring devotional service. But here is referring to another kind of pious activities. It's called Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti. There are different type of agyata sukriti, or service and non-service that one does. And the result of those activities can be eternal or temporary. So when you do service, agyata sukriti in the level of karma, that never will bring devotional service or attract the mercy of the devotees. But when we perform unconsciously some Ummukhi Bhakti Sukriti, then that, when it accumulates over different, after many, many life, and it will bring we will become a recipient of the mercy of the devotees. Will be able to accept that mercy. And finally, depends also the main point is that the devotional service depends on the mercy of the devotees. Those who have bhakti, if they want to give it. Like we have examples, Narada Muni with Mrigari, the hunter. And there's an example of giving the mercy. Parakasananda Sarasvati, he was a Mayavadi who didn't accept Lord Chaitanya, but he happened to meet Lord Chaitanya during a meeting, and he performed a service to Lord Chaitanya just to invite him to sit with them. So Lord Chaitanya was sitting, and Prakasananda Sarasvati gave his hand to Lord Chaitanya and took him to the place where the other sannyasis were discussing. And that activity is called, is described also as a Ummukhi, Bhakti Ummukhi Sukriti, which is a, it was a transcendental and non-devotional service. That make Prakasananda Sarasvati to be able to receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Yeah, I come just 22, if there is any, someone want to comment something or make a question? Feel free.
Just a clarifying point from what you were last talking about. So basically we get bhakti and mukha sukriti. And were you saying that this increases our capacity to take the mercy of a Vaishnava? Is that what you were explaining?
Yes, by the pious activities, describe transcendental pious activities. I heard Shivaran Swami explained that in a modern context. Like, for example, you go to book distribution every day and you see someone who is not interested, but you still somehow smile to them. And maybe you ask if they can give you a place where you can put the books, perhaps. So they say, I'm not interested in nothing, but yeah, you can put the books here. And after 1 year, 2 years, they develop some kind of interest in the books. After 10 years, they may become devotees because of the sukriti. Like, for example, in Argentina, I remember, like, when we moved to the new temple, I was traveling at that time, and I was coming every 1 month to the temple, the new temple. And there was a shock in the neighborhood, like a cultural shock for the Mangalaratis. The devotees were performing. So some people were complaining. But one neighbor in particular, he was very aggressive. And he once, I remember because I was there, he threw, during Guru Puja, he threw a brick to the temple. At the time, the temple had a metal, like kind of roof. So we could hear, and then he was complaining. And so later on, the devotees talked to him to please don't call the police, and we'll try to make it softer. So he has some contact with the devotees, but every day he was hearing somehow the kirtan. So after like 6 months, I was in the temple, and I was with the temple president. We were walking, and one guy came with a dog, walking, and he said, "Hey, I don't think he said Hari Bol, but he said, 'How are you? How are you doing?'" Very friendly. And Mahari told me, the temple president told me, "This is the person who was throwing the bricks before, and now he's greeting the devotees. He's becoming very favorable." So by being exposed to hearing somehow the holy name and seeing the devotees every day. And once I met in Sankirtan one person that approached to me, and he said, "Hey, Hare Krishna." He said, "Listen," and he started chanting the Gurubhastaka prayers like this. And then he was saying, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And he said, I happened to live in next to a temple for 10 years. So he had a kirtan there. And so these are can be examples of in modern life of how the Mukhi Bhakti Sukriti is growing and growing till the person becomes favorable because being exposed to some angas of bhakti. So then they are more favorable to receive the mercy of the devotees.
Can I ask a follow-up question?
Yes.
It's interesting because the verse is mentioning that it takes many, many lifetimes.
Yes.
In order to accumulate enough pious Sukriti to do this. So is that process sped up in the Kali Yuga with Lord Chaitanya's mercy, Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement? Is it sped up?
Well, we certainly know that in Kali Yuga, Kalera Dosha Nidharajam is an ocean of faults, and the Astihya Koma Haguna, the great quality of the chanting of the holy name. So certainly by chanting the holy name that has been given by Lord Chaitanya, there are many verses that by being exposed to the holy name, like in the third canto, Kapila Dev and Devahuti discussion, they said that even if a person is very sinful, I don't remember the verse, but it's even they describe as one who is a dog eater. Here will be, here it's taken like people say dog eater. They say this is the worst, but it's worse to eat cows. Anyway, so a very sinful person, just by chanting the holy name once, can it considered a Vaishnava, a devotee, so it can receive the mercy. And so, when Prabhupada was asked about if we are having, if his disciple asks if they have their qualification from previous life, Prabhupada answered, I am your qualification. So basically, it was the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So, I think we can say that, as Srila Prabhupada said, that it's the mercy of the devotees of the holy name, that we are in contact with this process, that we can take the process of bhakti, at least in the first stages. And there may be cases, situations, we don't know, from previous life. We don't know how many lives the devotees have been practicing. Even in this room, we don't know. Maybe some of us may have been practicing, you know, in previous life, or maybe this is our first life. We don't know. But for us, it's better to understand that it's a mercy. It's the sending mercy that we are having this opportunity. In Kali Yuga is given, especially by Srila Prabhupada. But his desire, he doesn't have that desire. We are not here, so it makes sense. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Ru. I just want to share one comment in relation. It's a very nice topic. This is from the Bhagavad Gita 12:15. He for whom no one is put into difficulty and who is not disturbed by anxiety, who is steady in happiness and distress, is very dear to me. Prabhupada says, our mistake of judgment often made by the neophyte devotees is that any time there is some disturbance or some difficulty, they are considering that the conditions or the external circumstances under which the difficulty took place are the cause of the difficulty itself. That is not the fact. In this material world, there is always some difficulty, no matter in this situation or that situation. Therefore, simply by changing my status of occupation or my status of life, that will not help anything. Because the real fact is that if there is any difficulty with others, that is my lack of Krishna consciousness, not theirs. Is this clear? Krishna says that his dearest devotee is one who does not put others into difficulty. In fact, who puts no one other into difficulty. So just on the topic of anxiety,
that's very, very good quality.
That it is a little contradictory that our process is to be self-realized, but the pure devotees are always in some state of anxiety. But I was just thinking, in the community of devotees, understanding the principle of that verse that he doesn't put anyone into anxiety, and if there's any issue, it's our fault, not theirs. It's our lack of Krishna consciousness. So it's related, but perhaps not as related as it could be. But I just felt like we could share that also. So thank you.
Thank you. It is a very, I think Prabhupada put it in very nice words. And well, I was thinking how we can misuse that quote. A devotee give you a service and then you say you are putting me in anxiety. A devotee never put another in anxiety. So I guess it doesn't refer to giving service, but to put in another kind of anxiety. Sometimes devotional service in the mood of passion is explained in the third canto as the person who is practicing devotional service mixing with the mood of passion. When he does things, he creates anxiety for others. Like for example, let's go to, everyone has services, and I say, let's do a Ratha Yatra here in the corner today. Prabhu, we have different services. No, let's go to the Chiru Prasad, something. Prabhu, we have our service, so today we can. No, but I will do it. Well, do it yourself, but please, we cannot help you because we are whatever serving the deities. Oh, okay, you do whatever you want, but I have to do something. So he goes to the festival, and then later on he comes, please, I need help. And he starts blaming everyone. Oh, everything is a failure because nobody helped me. But we told you we couldn't help you. No, now you have to come. And then everyone is in anxiety. We have to make the boga for the deities. No, you have to come right now. The TV is there. I invited to the temple. So something like that. Can be like a very... It will be kind of a little bit difficult to manage. So I have to be careful and not put in those kind of anxieties when we do something without the sanction of perhaps the authority of the temple, and we just make our own program, and then we realize that we cannot hold it by ourselves because we didn't plan this in goodness, and then we really need the help of the devotees, but we put them in anxiety at that moment. Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai.